الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who from his abundant mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has made it possible for us to reconverge today in continuance of the reading and explanation inshallah of the book Usul Sunnah of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal al-Shaybani, Imam Ahlus Sunnah al-Jama'ah. The treatise that we use contains the whole of the book in 50 points. And today, inshallah, we'll read the 21st point in the points that the Imam noted, rahimahullah. So point number 21 is still talking about the matters of the hereafter. He had discussed the matters of the grave. What should we believe regarding being in the grave? The appearance of the two malaika, Munkar and Nakir, to us. And we mentioned evidences regarding this from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and some of the statements of the pious predecessors regarding it. Some of those who had wondered why the two angels would bear such names, Munkar and Nakir, when the angels are people that Allah had mentioned with very positive attributes in the Quran. So why then should they be called Munkar and Nakir? We had mentioned what the explanations of the ulama are. That when they said Munkar and Nakir, they do not mean Munkar in respect to something that is distasteful or disgusting. That it means someone who is strange. Because Nakara also means strange. And that was why Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, when the three angels appeared to him before they went to destroy Qawm Lut, that he said to them in I think Surah Zariyat, that they were people Qawmun Munkarun. He referred to them as Munkarun. It did not mean that they were people who were useless people, but it meant that they were strange people to him. So Munkar or Nakara does not necessarily imply something to be bad. So in this case, these angels are not referred to negatively. Rather, they are strange because whenever they appear to anyone in the grave, they are strange to those people. The person has not seen them before. So they are necessarily what they had been called, respect to the person seeing them in the grave. So we mentioned all these, inshallah, and we tried to bring evidences for each of the points from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So today we'll be looking at the 21st point where the Imam said, rahimahullah, wal imanu bi shafa'ati nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa bi qawmin. In the treatise we have, he said li qawmin, we'll talk about it inshallah. What is right is wa bi qawmin yukhrajuna min an-nari ba'da ma ihtaraqu wa saru fahman فيؤمر بهم إلى نهر على باب الجنة كما جاء في الأثر كيف شاء الله وكما شاء. That point, والإيمان بشفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقوم. Yes, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, we make shafa'ah for people. And those people, for his shafa'ah, they'll be removed from the hell. But it's not just that that contains, or the whole of the Shafa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not restricted to that. So if you leave it as لِقَوْمٍ يُخْرَجُونَ مِنَ النَّارِ, it will be talking about that the Shafa'ah is only for those people, or that the one the Imam is mentioning is only for those people. But if you compare it with other texts, like the text that was verified by Amr ibn Munim Salim, that he called Tamamul Minna, Sit'alik ala Usuli Sunnah, you see he wrote وَبِقَوْمٍ. If you also look at the Sharh of Usul Sunnah by Abu al-Ashbal Ahmad al-Masri, he also mentioned biqawmin. So many others who had worked on this book had mentioned biqawmin, not wa biqawmin, not liqawmin. So let's try to correct from that treatise we have on our hands. So he said, rahimahullah, wal imanu bi shafa'ati nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that we must also believe. Don't forget, at the beginning he mentioned, he said these matters are matters that not to believe in any one of them is tantamount to disbelief in all of them. He mentioned the issue of Qadr. Not to believe in Qadr is tantamount to disbelief in every one of them. We remember, in fact, regarding Qadr, that the first hadith in Kitabul Iman in Sahih Muslim, the first hadith in Sahih Muslim, Kitabul Iman, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, بَيْنَمَا نَحْنُ جُلُوسٍ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This hadith, its sabab was the fact that some of the people came to inform Abdullah ibn Umar that some people had started to speak against Qadr, rejecting Qadr. And he said to them that, how can they speak rejecting Qadr? That when they speak rejecting Qadr, it's as if they had not accepted any part of the iman. So he quoted this hadith, that one day we were sitting beside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he quoted until he said, وَقَالَ أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ. And then Jibreel said, then inform me about iman, and he mentioned those things. So all these points that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah has been talking about which we had read prior to this one, they are matters that regarding any of them, disbelief regarding any of them is tantamount to disbelief in all of them. And don't forget, we try to mention that al-imanu billah, which includes al-imanu bi rububiyyatihi, al-imanu bi uluhiyyatihi, wal-imanu bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi, that from his rububiyya is al-imanu bil qadar. Part of rububiyya of Allah is to believe in qadar, to believe that he predestined some things, he knew some things, he created some things, he created everything, and that nothing happens except with his permission. All these are part of his rububiyyah. The fact that he will kill creatures, he will put all of them to non-existence and then bring them back to existence, is also part of his rububiyyah. So to disbelieve in any of these points is tantamount to disbelieving in everything, like the Imam said, rahimahullah. So he said, from what we must believe, that we must never make disbelief with, the Muslim Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah must believe in them, is al-imanu bi-shafa'ati nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is we must believe in the intercession or intermediation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So two things. Firstly, it means there is intercession, a shafa'a. Secondly, it also means that the Prophet has shafa'a. What he has mentioned, he said al-imanu bi-shafa'ati nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It means that there is shafa'ah, and the Prophet has shafa'ah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is shafa'ah? What is shafa'ah in the Sharia? Ulama say ash-shafa'atu, that ash-shafa'ah is at-tawassut lil-ghayr. At-tawassut lil-ghayr, coming in between for other than you, intermediating or mediating, either of them goes. So you come in between for somebody, bijalbi manfa'atin, so that there is a benefit that comes to him, you mediate, you come in between him, so that he can get a benefit, or daf'i mudirratin, or that he puts away an evil from him. You want him to get a good. So you come in to appeal that the good should come to him. Or you come in to appeal that the evil should be taken off him. So this is the meaning of shafa'ah. Someone comes in as a mediator so that good can come to people, or so that evil can be put away from them. This is the meaning of shafa'ah. And that's why we'll see, inshallah, as we read on, that on the day of Qiyamah, which is referred to as Ash-Shafa'atul Uzma, that on the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, after Allah has brought the sun to about the head of men, and people are sweating, people are standing, nobody knows what was going to happen, this crisis, this trouble is going to be removed from man by the Shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Shafa'ah removes evil. Also, by the time the people of Al-Jannah, may Allah count us amongst them, are already set to get into Al-Jannah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the first to get to Al-Jannah, and the rest of the people will come into Al-Jannah by the Shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you see here, Shafa'ah brings about good. So a Shafa'ah is at-tawassut lil-ghayr, to intermediate for someone, on behalf of someone, bijalbi manfa'atin, so that a particular good comes to him, aw lidaf'i mudirratin, or to put away a particular evil from that person. So this is what it means when you say ash-shafa'a. And from the verse we read always in ayat al-kursi, Allah says, man dhalladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'izni. Allah says, man dhalladhi, who is it, alladhi yashfa'u, who will come to seek intermediation, or who will intermediate indahu, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa bi'iznihi, except by the permission of Allah, meaning that there is no intermediation, there is no intercession that anybody can do for the other person except that Allah permits that person. So ulama has brought a lot of facts from this verse of the Quran. Man dhalladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'izni. It will come on as we go on in this verse, as in this discussion on intercession, inshallah. So Allah says, man dhalladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'izni. Ulama say there is nafyu of a shafa'a and there is isbat of another shafa'a. There is a shafa'a that Allah will not accept, and there is a shafa'a that He will accept. He said, indahu illa bil istisna. This istisna is the one He will accept by His permission, bi'izni. So it means there is a shafa'ah that Allah will accept, there is an intercession that Allah will accept, and there is an intercession that He will not accept. So ulama say shafa'ah is divided into two. They say ash-shafa'atul batila wa ash-shafa'atul sahiha aw al-maqbula. Ash-shafa'atul batila, a shafa'ah that Allah will not accept. People would like to intercede for people, and Allah will not accept it. Ulama say this is ma yata'allaq bihi al-mushrikuna fi asnamihim. This has to do with the shafa'ah that the mushrikun, the polytheists, they attribute that it is their asnam, their idols that they worship, that will intercede for them before Allah. So the mushrikun are hoping that their idols will intercede for them before Allah. حَيْثُ يَعْبُدُونَهُمْ وَيَزُعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ شُفَاءُ لَهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. So they worship them and think, hoping that, yes, these things will intercede for us. They will beg, they will come in between us and Allah. They will seek good for us before Allah, and they will put evil away from us. So these mushrikun, they attribute shafa'ah to their idols that they worship. So this is the kind of shafa'ah that is not acceptable. This is a shafa'ah to al-batila. And with respect to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ. The people worship, besides Allah, something that لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ, something that will not bring harm to them, it can't bring harm to them, وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ, and it cannot bring goodness to them. وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And they are saying that these are the things that will intermediate, that will intercede for us in the sight of Allah. The mushrikun say that. So the first kind of intercession is al-shafa'atu al-batila, a shafa'ah that will not be accepted by Allah. And it is the kind of shafa'ah that the idolaters hope for in their idols, that they will help them to make on the day of Qiyamah, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the kinds of things that Allah mentions in the Quran while he says, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. It will not benefit them, the intercessors, the intercession of those they think will intercede, or those who intercede. It will not, لَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. So this shafa'ah that Allah talks about here, because some of the people of innovation have wrongly interpreted this verse to mean that there is no shafa'ah. But there is shafa'ah, but the shafa'ah that is not acceptable is this, what this verse refers to. That لَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. The intercession of those who intercede will not benefit the kuffar. It will not, لَا تَنْفَعُهُمُ الشَّفَاعَةُ. The intercession will not benefit the kuffar. I hope it is clear. The first kind of intercession is the intercession that is not acceptable, that will not benefit the interceded for. That is, that will not benefit the one on whose behalf the intercession is made. The second kind of intercession is ash-shafa'atu sahiha. Ash-shafa'atu sahiha aw al-maqbula. A shafa'a that is acceptable before Allah. The shafa'a intercession that is acceptable before Allah. These, before we mention the evidences that establish them, they have three conditions. The acceptable shafa'a. They have three conditions. The ulama said the first condition is رِضَ اللَّهِ عَنِ الشَّافِعِ. The pleasure of Allah for the one making intercession. That is, the one who wants to come in between to plead Allah to remove a particular evil from someone else, or to plead Allah to bring about a particular benefit to another person. This shafi here must be someone that Allah is pleased with. If Allah is not pleased with him as an intercessor who can intercede for people, he cannot intercede. The intercession will come in the first category of intercession. That is, intercessions that are what? Unacceptable before Allah. I hope it is clear. The second condition is رِضَ اللَّهِ عَنِ الْمَشْفُوعِ لَهُ. The pleasure of Allah for the one on whose behalf the intercession is sought. That is, Allah must be pleased with the person seeking intercession, and Allah must also be pleased with the person on whose behalf the intercession is sought. The person for whose sake someone else is seeking intercession. So the two people must have the pleasure of Allah. The Shafi and the Mashfu'u Lahu. The two of them must be pleased with by Allah. The third condition is Iznuhu fi shafa'a. Iznuhu fi shafa'a. The permission of Allah, the shafa'a should be done. Don't forget, he says that Man dhalladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'iznihi. So this verse establishes that there cannot be shafa'a except with the permission of Allah. Shafa'a here, we mean acceptable shafa'a. No shafa'a is acceptable illa bi'izni, except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about the first two conditions? The fact that the Shafi and the Mashfu'u Lahu must be people that Allah is pleased with. What that they should make intercession. What are the evidences that support that? The ulama have mentioned the verse in Surah An-Najm, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَعْذَنَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ شَاءَ وَيَرْضَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. There are so many angels in the heavens. So many, the angels are many in the heavens. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created them. He says about them, لَا تُبْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا. Their intercession will not benefit anyone, the angels. Allah says, لَا تُبْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا. Their intercession will not benefit, إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَعْذَنَ لَهُمْ. Except after they had been permitted to do what? To intercede. Do we understand? Meaning the permission, they can't just come up and say, look, we intercede for so and so. Yes, the angels are part of those who will intercede. But Allah is saying that their intercession is not an acceptable one until أَنْيَا أَزَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Until Allah has given permission that the intercession should be made. لِمَنْ شَاءَ وَيَرْضَى. For those that he wills and he is pleased with.
liman sha'a wa yarda. Ulama selis liman sha'a wa yarda. Liman sha'a wa yarda min ash-Shafi'i wal mashfu'i lahu. That this includes both the person making intercession, Allah must be pleased with him, wal mashfu'u lahu, the one accepting on whose behalf the intercession is made, Allah must also be pleased with him. So you can see this verse mentions permission of Allah. It mentions the pleasure of Allah and his mashia, his wish, regarding the two groups of people, the person making shafa'ah and the person on whose behalf the shafa'ah is made. So before an acceptable shafa'ah is made, three conditions must be met. The first one, ridallahi lishafi, aw ala shafi, the pleasure of Allah upon the person making shafa'ah. Ash-shay' al-thani, ridallahi ala al-mashfu'i lahu, the pleasure of Allah upon the person on whose behalf the intercession is being made. Ash-shartu al-thalith ma huwa, iznuhu, the permission of Allah must be made. If Allah grants permission, then there will be shafa'ah for those people. So the first point the Imam mentioned here, that wal imanu bi shafa'ati nabi, I hope it is clear that the shafa'ah that it means is the shafa'ah that Allah is pleased with the person making shafa'ah. Allah is pleased with the person on whose behalf shafa'ah is made, and Allah has given permission to that shafa'ah. So, and then the second thing that we have to note in this point 21 is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has some shafa'at that are his. The point makes us understand, because he said, "Nu'minu bi shafa'ati an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-imanu bi shafa'ati an-nabi," that the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ulama say there are three kinds of shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he will make on the day of Qiyamah. Some of them say there are more, but the ones that are for him alone are those three. No one will make them except him, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has three forms, three kinds of intercession he will make on the day of Qiyamah. Nobody will make those intercession or can make those intercession except him, alayhi salatu wasalam. The first intercession is that which we have mentioned, Ash-shafa'atul uzma or ash-shafa'atul kubra, the great shafa'ah, the great intercession. The ulama also refer to this as his position of maqam mahmud, that this is the status of the praised one, because everyone is going to have to praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for being in that status, and no one is given that status in the creation of Allah except the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in a hadith that is reported by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, said that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to them, Ana sayyidun nasi yawm al-qiyamah. Ana sayyidun nasi yawm al-qiyamah. I'm the leader of people on the day of Qiyamah. Every person will follow me on the day of Qiyamah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said, Ana sayyidun nasi yawm al-qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, I'm the leader of men on the day of Qiyamah. And he asked them, Tadruna bima dhak? Do you know why, how that is going to be? Do you know how my leadership is going to be established and become manifest on the day of, you know how it is going to be? And he started to tell them that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will descend the sun to the heads, and the people will begin to sweat. The people's sweat will be in accordance to how much sin they committed while they were on earth. The people who are usually very sinful people, some of them will be consumed in their sweat. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he raised an issue here that some people will be swallowed in their sweat. He said, how will it be when a million or a billion or a uncountable number of people are standing? Some people are covered in their sweat and the next person besides them is not covered with the sweat. How is it going to be? Do we understand? Someone is standing, soaked up in his sweat from head to toe, and the next person beside him perhaps is just having the sweat on his cap, on his ankle bone. The how is that going to be? So he said, rahimahullah, in explanation, alayhi rahmatullah, Sheikh Salih ibn Muhammad ibn Salih al Uthaymeen, that has to do with Allah. He knows how he will do that. That if it is possible for him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have 20 people sleep in a room and in sleep the 20 people have 20 different experiences, then that is not difficult for Allah on the day of Qiyamah. When 20 people sleep in a room, the 20 people by the morning, by the time you start asking them, what did you see in the dream? Some people say, I didn't see anything. What did you see? I saw that I was giving $1 million. What did you see? I saw that I married. What did you see? I saw that somebody was pursuing me. What did you see? I saw that I was eating chicken. 20 people in the room. He says, so that is not difficult for Allah on the day of Qiyamah. To make every person to have a feeling based on his own handiwork. It's not a problem for Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. And he has power over all things. So on the day of Qiyamah, people will be in this trouble. Everyone will be in the trouble. Everyone will be afraid. No one will know what was going to happen to him exactly. And the fact that people are seeing people in trouble itself is another trouble for people. So people will be walking all around after they've been raised from the grave. People are just walking around, sweating, in trouble, no water. We talked about the Hawd, that Allah will provide the water for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from what will happen on that on the plane of resurrection is that Allah's arsh will create a shade regarding which seven groups of people are going to stay under the shade. The Prophet told us in a clear hadith, and it's authentic. Seven groups of people will stay under the shade. He said, يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهَا. On a day, no, there shall be no shade anywhere except the shade of the arsh of Allah. And he mentioned the seven groups of people who will be there. The one who likes to stay in the masjid. Two people who love themselves for the sake of Allah. The one who was invited by a beautiful woman to commit zina and he refused. And the like of the people. Seven groups of people will be under the shade. May Allah make it easy for us to be under the shade. So people will be in trouble, walking all around. And some of the people will suggest that, look, where are the Anbiya? Let us go to them. Let's go to the Anbiya. Let's go to Adam. So people will go to Adam alayhi salam. Allah tara ma nahnu fihi. They will say to him, are you not seeing what we are in? Are you not seeing our crisis? Ishfa lana. Come and make intercession for us, ila rabbina, to our Lord. Come and intercede for us. You not see how the crisis we are? Are you not the one that Allah created with his hand? Ulama said this is evidence that Allah created Adam with his hand. He molded him with his hand. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you not the one that Allah commanded the angels to bow for? So Allah honored you. So come and beg Allah. You say, yes, I should beg him. But today he's annoyed. In a manner he has never been annoyed. And he will never be annoyed like that again after today. The hadith is authentic. The Prophet said that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Adam alayhi salam will say to them, he kept me in the garden. And he said I should not touch the fruit. But I touched it. I ate from it. So today I cannot face him. I can't face him today. Go to Nuh alayhi salam. You see, so when people commit evil on the surface of the earth and think that on the day of Qiyamah we'll sort it out, even the Anbiya, they are scared of going ahead. So how will the case of people be? May Allah make things easy for us on this day. So he will say, go to Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. So people will go to Nuh alayhi salam. See, they will say to him, Allah has mentioned you are the first Rasul. Because the first Rasul that Allah sent to the surface of the earth was Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. But the first Nabi is Adam alayhi salam. The first Nabi is Adam alayhi salam. The first Rasul is Nuh alayhi salam. So you are the first Nabi. وَقَدْ وَصَفَكَ اللَّهُ. You are the first Rasul. And that Allah has described you, Abdan Shakura. Allah has mentioned you as a slave that is grateful. So you can intercede for us. فَشْفَعْ لَنَا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا. Come and intercede for us before our Lord. He said, yes, I had a dua that I should make. And I made the dua that he should destroy my people. لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّ عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. So I said, he should not make anyone to remain. That if he made anyone to remain, they will not give birth to anyone except fajr like themselves, except evil sinners like themselves. Kuffar. So don't let any one of them remain. Today I don't want to meet him. He's annoyed today. So Nuh alayhi salam will say, go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So people will go to Ibrahim. Ibrahim, Khalilullah. You are the Khalil of Allah, intimate friend. Allah loves you. He mentioned you as his Khalil. So today come and make Shafa'ah for us. And many of the anbiya that came after Ibrahim alayhi salam came from the loins of Ibrahim. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِ النُّبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابِ. So all the anbiya that came after Ibrahim came from the loins of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah honored you. Come and intercede. Say, no, I can't intercede. I said 3 things that you are not true. So today I'm ashamed of meeting him. So go and meet. He will refer mankind again to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, Allah honored you with his speech. He spoke to you the way speech is made. You heard the way people hear speech, and you spoke to him the way speech is made, and he heard you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You spoke to him. He spoke to you. So today, come and intercede for us. And Nabi Musa will say, I won't intercede today. On and on, the Anbiya will pass mankind from one of them. Musa alayhi salam will pass us to Nabi Isa alayhi salam. And Isa alayhi salam will not mention any zamb for himself, but he will pass us to the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will say, Izhabu ila Muhammadi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go to Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Faya'tuni. So people will come to me. Faya'kuluna ya Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He say, Oh Muhammad, Anta Rasulullahi wa khatamul anbiya. You are a messenger of Allah. And the seal, the last of the Prophet of Allah. وَغَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. All what preceded and came after, what came before and what came after from your sins, Allah forgive them to you. وَشْفَعْ لَنَا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. Come and intercede. Come and intercede. You are forgiven. You are a forgiven slave. You don't have anything to fear, so to speak. So come and intercede for us before your Lord. Allah tara ma nahnu fihi. Have you not seen the kind of trouble we are in? So people will say that to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, fa antaliku fa ati taht al arsh. So he said, I will proceed and I will get under the arsh. Fa aqa usajidan li rabbi. And I'm going to fall prostrate. I'm going to prostrate to my Lord. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, ثُمَّ يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ وَيُلْهِمُنِي مِنْ مَحَامِدِهِ وَحُسْنِ السَّنَاءِ عَلَيْهِ شَيْئًا لَمْ يَفْتَحْهُ لِأَحْدٍ قَبْلِي. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثُمَّ يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ وَيُلْهِمُنِي. Then Allah will expose my breast. He will open my breast. And he will give me ilham. He will teach me things from himself without an intermediary. Min mahamidihi, from things of praises to him, was sana alayhi, and words of adorations to him. Allah will teach me some things with which in my prostration I'm going to be prostrating, and in my prostration I'll be mentioning those words of praises and adorations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the manner that I'm going to do, لَمْ يَفْتَحْهُ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلِي. No one before me had been taught such words of praises, the way I'm going to praise Allah on the day of Qiyamah. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ يُقَالْ. Then it will be said, يَا مُحَمَّد. Oh Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ارفع رأسك. Raise your head. سَلْ تُعْطَه. Ask and it shall be given to you. اشفع. To شفع. Seek intercession and intercession shall be granted. So it will be said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irfa ra'sak, raise your head, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sal tu'tah, request and your request will be granted. And the third thing is the ishfa tu shafa, request for shafa and the request for shafa will be granted. So this status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this shafa that the Prophet will make is the shafa that will make judgments to commence, without which people will just be moving all around. Even when this situation for the people of hell, they are not count us out of them, it is going to be a situation they will still like later. Because ulama say, they brought some narrations that when they get into Jahannam, they say, Subhanallah, this is Jahannam. Perhaps they should have been standing. The standing is still better than this Jahannam. But before the judgment, they will be saying, let Allah judge, let every person go to his place. When the people now get to Jahannam, they will say, oh, but the standing is even better than here. Just like they will feel that the grave was better, even when they were punishing the grave. That's why the grave to them will be like a sleep. Who has woken up from the sleep? It was not because they were not punishing the grave. They were punishing the grave. But the punishment of the grave was a child's play compared to the punishment of standing on the day of Qiyamah. So when people go to hell, may Allah count us out. The punishment of standing there will be a child's play also when they get into hell. SubhanAllah. May Allah save us from this evil. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, including all those who abuse the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now, I used to say this a lot. When people abuse the Prophet, you are abusing someone who will come before you and Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Because this Shafa'ah is for the whole of mankind, Muslims, Kuffar, everybody. So why are you abusing someone who will be your intercessor on the day of Qiyamah? Who will beg Allah for you on the day of Qiyamah? You abuse him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you should have problems. But you will regret that abuse on the day of Qiyamah. So that is the first shafa'ah. It is referred to as ash-shafa'atu al-uzma or ash-shafa'atu al-kubra, the great or the major intercession. And this is not for anyone except for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The second intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is ash-shafa'atu li ahli al-jannati li yadkhulu al-jannata. Ash-shafa'atu li ahli al-jannah. The Prophet's intercession for the people who are judged to go to al-jannah. May Allah count us amongst them. Li yadkhulu al-jannata. So that they are permitted entry into al-jannah. That is the second form of intercession that the Prophet will make. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the people of al-jannah are judged, they are told, go to al-jannah. They will get to al-jannah, but the doors are locked. One of the scholars has made one nice istinbat, alayhi rahmatullah, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in his Sharh of Aqidat al-Wasitiyah, the second volume. When he was talking about the verse in Surah Az-Zumar, he said, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ الزُّمَرَىٰ حَتَّىٰ إِذَا جَاءُوهَا فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. He said, the people of Jahannam will be dragged, will be pushed, إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ الزُّمَرَىٰ, in groups. Told, move in groups. إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ الزُّمَرَىٰ. They will do so in groups. He said, حَتَّىٰ إِذَا جَاءُوهَا. When they are close to it, when they come to it, when they come to Jahannam, فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. The doors are already wide open waiting for them. So they will be flushed into Jahannam. May Allah count us out of them. In the second part of it, Allah said, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ تَقَوْ رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا حَتَّىٰ إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا. He said, when the people who were fearful of Allah on earth, when they are told to go to Al-Jannah, when they get to Al-Jannah, he said, وَفُتِحَتْ. For people of Jahannam, he didn't say wafutihat. The Sheikh said it meant wafutihat here means that there is something in between when they get to Al-Jannah, to the gates of Al-Jannah, and the opening of the gates, and they are being inside the Al-Jannah itself. For the people of Jahannam, hatta iza ja'uha futihat abwabuha. For people of Al-Jannah, hatta iza ja'uha wafutihat abwabuha. And then the door, when they come there, and then the door is open. He said it means that there is something in between their getting there and their entry into Al-Jannah. He said, wahiya shafa'ah. He said, that is the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they get there, the doors will not be opened until the Prophet makes shafa'ah, that the door is opened, then they will get to Al-Jannah. So he uses this verse as one of the evidences to establish a shafa'atu rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li ahli al-jannati li dukhuli al-jannata. The second point with which the ulama evidence the Prophet's shafa'ah for the people of al-jannah, may Allah count us amongst them, is the hadith of Abu Huraira, Hafiz al-Ummah, radiyallahu anhu, Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhar, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that on the day of Qiyamah, that the people of Al-Jannah, Ya'tuna Adam, the people of Al-Jannah, they will still go back to Adam alayhi salam. We are being told to go to Al-Jannah, but the doors are locked. And it was said like that, just like it will be for Shafa'atul Uzma, That is how the people will be going from one Nabi to the other, from one Rasul to the other, until the case will be transferred to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَيَعْتُونَ مُحَمَّدًا. And the people will come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said, فَيَقُومُ فَيُؤْذَنُ لَهُ. So the Prophet will come, he will stand before the gate and seek permission, and the permission will be granted. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make that second shafa'a. And this is not for anyone except the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim. The third shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's for him alone and it's not for any other person except him, is ash-shafa'atu rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ammihi. The Prophet's shafa'a for his uncle, Abu Talib. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had 10 uncles. And from these 10, only 4 knew Islam. From these 4, only 2 accepted Islam. And 2 are from the people of hell. The only 2 who accepted Islam was Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada. The Prophet said so in an authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second person who accepted Islam was who? Al-Abbas, the father of Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu al-Abbas, radiyallahu anhum. Abbas is Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Abbas is Sahabi. So these 2 people accepted Islam from amongst the uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And 2 of them didn't accept Islam. The first one, Abu Talib, the father of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the second was what? Who? Abu Lahab. Lanatullahi alayhi. Allah cursed him. The fact that he was the uncle of the Prophet did not mean that Allah did not curse him. And this makes us understand that when the Shia say Ahlul Bayt, Ahlul Bayt, we say who amongst Ahlul Bayt? If it is just Ahlul Bayt, Abu Lahab is Ahlul Bayt. And that's why Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari was saying that he came across a book that the Shia wrote in early times, saying that Abu Talib became Muslim. He says the lie is filled with abatil and khurafat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Abu Talib will be in Jahannam. Even when he will be in a lighter part of it, in an hadith reported in Sahih Muslim, he's going to wear a footwear in Jahannam. But even at that, his brain will boil. His brain will boil from the heat of Jahannam. He is the least punished person in Jahannam. The least person that will be punished. You can just ask your children that if you teach. The least person who will have the least punishment in Jahannam is who? Abu Talib. The Prophet said so in an authentic hadith. So Abu Talib, the fact that he was an uncle of the Prophet did not say that he would not go to Jahannam. Abu Lahab, the fact that he was an uncle of the Prophet did not mean that he was not cursed. He was cursed forever. He was cursed by all those who curse. We came today and we read it and we caught him too. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. Subhanallah. Ma agna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. His wealth and all that he earned, ma agna anhu, they will not save him. They will not save him. They will not prevent him from the punishment of Allah. Fayasla naran zat al-lahab. Not only him. Wa mra'atuhu hammalat al-hatab. So the fact that he was an uncle, to relate to the Prophet is nothing. It's nothing until the person is a Muslim. So it is iman actually that matters. And that's why the person who is not even related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet called them ashadi wa ikhwani, my brothers and my companions. So iman is very important. So don't mind the Shia, Ahlul Bayt does not really matter until Ahlul Bayt is a Muslim. So, and that, because today, even the Sufiya, they do that. They say someone is Sharif, someone is this, someone is someone's child. And it doesn't matter until the Iman is seen and the Sunnah is seen from the person. So, Al-Abbas, one of the uncles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, Hal nafa'ta Aba Talibin bi shay'in? Did you benefit Abu Talib with anything? فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يَحُوتُكَ وَيَغْضَبُ لَكَ. Because he used to protect you. And when people did anything to you, he was annoyed. He defended you. Is there anything you did for him? Is there any benefit he's going to get from you? قَالَ نَعَمْ.
The Prophet said, yes, he's going to get benefit. He said, huwa fi dahdah min narin. He's going to be in dahdah. Ulama say dahdah is when someone goes into a river and the river gets to his ankle bones. It is said to be dahdah. The phenomena is referred to as dahdah. But in other narrations, the ulama makes us understand that what it meant was that he's going to be wearing a shoe that will get to his ankle. So he does not know anything from the punishment except the one that fills his ankle and that will get his head to boil in hell. Subhanallah. So the Prophet said that. That's, he's going to be in a light punishment area in Jahannam. وَلَوْلَا أَنَا wait not for me, لَكَانَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. He would have been the deepest part of hell, where the munafikun will be. But because I begged Allah for his sake, he will be in a light punishment area, region, inside the hell. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim. So this shafa'a, in the other hadith, he said, إِنَّا أَحَوَنَا أَهْلِ النَّارِ عَذَابًا أَبُو طَالِبٍ. The least punished person in the fire is Abu Talib. That hadith is also in Sahih Muslim. We mentioned that at the beginning. So these three forms of shafa'a, al-shafa'atul uzma, al-shafa'atu li ahli al-jannah li dukhuliha, wa al-shafa'atu li ammihi, is only meant for who? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can say that when Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said here that wal iman bi shafa'ati Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that these are some of what he meant. The shafa'a of Nabi meant, yes, shafa'atul uzma, maqam al-mahmud. He also meant this shafa'a for people of al-jannah. He also meant shafa'a for his uncle. He also has other shafa'at that we shall mention. The fourth, which is the general shafa'a for other people, it will be for the Prophet and for other than him. But those first three are for him alone. وَلَا لِغَيْرِهِ. He said, شَفَاعَتُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَالْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ فِي مَنِ اسْتَحَقَّ النَّارِ أَلَّا يَدْخُلَهَا وَفِي مَنْ دَخَلَهَا أَنْ يُخْرَجَ مِنْهَا. There is going to be shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's going to also be for other anbiya, other prophets of Allah. And it's also going to be for pious people. The pious people, the ulama, they are also going to make shafa'a. The malaika too will make shafa'a. So groups of people will make shafa'a. And these shafa'a or shafa'at will be for different groups of people. One, al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Abi'iz al-Hanafi in his Sharh Aqidat al-Tahawiyah, he said it is one, for some people, their good deeds are the same with their evil deeds. The evil and the good deeds placed on the mizan, we discussed the mizan, is going to be the same. So there will be shafa'a for them. Instead of just being there or going for any other thing or being punished in hell, the shafa'a will liberate them. They will be liberated by the shafa'a into al-jannah. That's a group of people. For some other people, they are already due for hell. Their evil deeds were more than the good deeds. Yes, they were Muslims, but their evil deeds, they had a lot of sins, baggages of sins. And some people, perhaps, when they were on the surface of the earth, they have good deeds, but they were abusing the people. So by the time they give out their good deeds and could not find good deeds to give out, they would take upon themselves the sins of people. So yes, they did good deeds on earth, but they will be overloaded with evil things on the day of Qiyam, and they will be liable for Jahannam. Shafa'a will liberate them to Al-Jannah. Intercession will liberate, the intercession of those who intercede amongst the Anbiya, amongst the pious people, amongst the Shuhada, amongst all the people who intercede. So for such kind of people, intercession will liberate them on the day of Qiyam. And for some people, they are already in the Jahannam. It is when they are already in the Jahannam that people will still be interceding. This hadith Qudsi, authentic, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that no one likes to fight for his brother as much as the way, in the manner that the Muslims will fight for their brothers who are unfortunate to have gotten to Jahannam. People fight for people. People defend the rights of people. But no one does it better or will do it better than the way the Muslims will do it who are not in Jahannam for their brothers who are unfortunate to have gotten to Jahannam first.
Is that because they'll say, we used to perform salah together. We did all these things together, but unfortunately he's in Jahannam. So they will ask Allah to liberate them. So and Allah will command the angels, go and remove all those who have dinar weight of iman in their hearts. Go and remove them from Jahannam. They will go and they start, this one has dinar, the weight of a gold coin in his heart. They will remove them from Jahannam. They will still be asking Allah, some are still left. Some are still left there in Jahannam. Allah will tell the angels, go and remove those people who have silver, dirham weight of iman in their hearts. They will go and remove it. Those dirham, silver coin weight. They will be removed from Jahannam to Al-Jannah. Freed slaves from Jahannam. Jahannam is you. They will still be complaining. Some are still left. Allah will say, وَبِعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَأُخْرِجَنَّ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِسْقَلَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. By my authority and my power, I liberate everyone that has miskala zarratin min iman. Atom size of iman in his heart, liberate him from Jahannam. But these people, something would have happened. The kuffar in Jahannam will be saying to them, see now, what is the difference between we and you now? We didn't believe we are in hell. You too, you didn't believe. You believe we are in hell. So what's the difference? They will complain to Allah. Allah, they are abusing us for your sake. They are abusing us that we believed in you. So you say, okay, every person who has an atom size of iman in their heart, no salah, no zakat, no Ramadan, no anything, there is a bag load of zina on his head. Allah said, remove them from Jahannam. But he was a Muslim, he believed La Sharika Allah, he believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he believed in the Prophet, he believed that there is this day of Qiyamah. But he was just unfortunate to commit those things. Liberate him. Liberate them from Jahannam. So they will be liberated from Jahannam. And that's why this other one is also referred to as Shafa'atu Rabbil Alamin. The Shafa'ah of Allah, the Lord of the world. He himself will make Shafa'ah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah will say that Shafa'atil Malaikatu. The Malaika, they have made Shafa'ah. Wa Shafa'a Nabiyun. And the Anbiya, they have made Shafa'ah. Wa Shafa'a Al-Mu'minun. The believers, they have made intercession. Wa lam yabqa illa arhamur rahimin. No one is left to make shafa'ah except Arhamur Rahimin, the most beneficent of all those who benefit people. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, فَيَقْبِدُ قَبْضَةً مِنَ النَّارِ. So he will take a handful of some people from hell. فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا قَوْمًا. So some people will be removed from hell. لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا خَيْرًا قَطُّ. They never did any good deeds except that they were Muslims. But Ulama say, see now, Allah will liberate the Muslims from hell, no matter how sinful they were, inasmuch as they were not kuffar. That is why he says, Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi, wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. The only thing that will not make any person to qualify for that is his shirk. And that's why people and every one of us must run away from shirk in all its forms. Because shirk, it makes someone to become a condemned criminal for Jahannam forever. He's going to be in Jahannam. Their case is khalidina fiha abada. Allah al-qawl is sahih. They are going to be in hell forever. Abadan here does not mean for a long time. It means forever, kufar. But the Muslims, no matter how sinful they were, after they spend the time that Allah has decreed for them, they will be liberated from Jahannam. Inshallah, we'll still get to it. It's part of the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah. It's some of what distinguishes Ahlul Sunnah from other than them, among the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. Because they say that anyone who goes into hell has gone into hell. There is no liberation. You go to hell, you go to hell. No liberation. But these narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in fact some pointers from that verse of the Quran, makes us understand that Allah is Al-Ghafoor al-Rahim. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that some of the people would not have done any good deed. We'll come back to this hadith when we talk about Hukmu Tariki Salah. The ruling regarding those who abandon Salah. We'll come back to it. And it's necessary to mention here that this should not be a leverage for people who commit sins. Yeah, we'll still come back to Al-Jannah. Test a day in Jahannam and see. If you want to know it, just put up fire and put your hands in it for a minute and then see. You know how long the people will spend in Jahannam. We want to go to Al-Jannah. May Allah make it easy for us. We don't want to taste hell before. So if someone feels that he's so bold enough to taste hell, have some taste of hell, such that when it comes out in some authentic narration, it is said that the people of Al-Jannah will refer to these people as Jahannamiyun, liberated slaves from Jahannam. So we don't want to be referred to as liberated criminals. But inshallah, the Prophet said something, so we'll mention them. These traits of being liberated will also be removed from them. Inshallah, we'll read the narrations. This very hadith. So the Prophet said, those people who didn't do any good deed at all, except that they were Muslims, Allah will relieve them from the punishment of Jahannam. May Allah save us from that punishment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these people, لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا خَيْرًا قَدْ عَادُوا حُمَمًا. They didn't do any good deed. They had been in Jahannam. عَادُوا حُمَمًا. They became charcoals. Because the burning of the fire of hell blackens. It blackens the people. So when they are already becoming, they are already charcoals. Human beings, charcoals. Human beings as black as charcoals. So Allah will liberate them. He said, فَيُلْقِيهِمْ فِي نَهْرٍ فِي أَفْوَاهِ الْجَنَّةِ. So Allah will cause them to be thrown into a river on the outskirts of Al-Jannah. So this river, some of the ulama, as is in this hadith, that يُقَالُ لَهُ نَحْرُ الْحَيَاةِ, that this river is referred to as the river of life. The people who had become like charcoals, they will be renewed in that river. Allah will renew them. He will make them, He will prepare them for Al-Jannah. Because Al-Jannah is to be entered by the beautiful people, handsome looking, not haggard and looking old. We remember the hadith of the woman the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about, that the old people will not go to Jannah. Yes, it meant that Allah will make them look refurbished. And that's why even Jahannam, Allah will reshape them to suit the punishment of hell. There are authentic narrations that some of the teeth of the people of Jahannam, may Allah save us from it, will be like Mount Uhud. Their teeth, their canines will be like Mount Uhud, each of them. So how dare will they be? How is it? Their teeth will be like Mount Uhud. Then they themselves, how will they be? Giants. So how then the malaika who are, he says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ إِلَّا مَلَائِكَ وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عِدَّتَهُمْ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً. So they are afraid. When the Prophet said they are 19, say 19, who deal with 19? It's a fitna for them. So as big as those people will be, the malaika will be bigger, because they are the people who supervise the punishment for those people. So Allah will shape on the people of Jahannam to suit Jahannam, and He will shape on the people of Al-Jannah, may Allah count us amongst them, to suit Al-Jannah also. So that is how it is going to be. So those people who are liberated from Jahannam will have to be made to be suited for Al-Jannah. So to do that, they will go into this Nahar that the Prophet told us about. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He referred to it as Nahrul Hayat, the river of life. It will enliven those people who had been in Jahannam. He said they will grow like, he said, فَيَخْرُجُونَ كَمَا تَخْرُجُ الْحِبَّةُ فِي حَيْلِ السَّيْلِ. He said they are going to grow like the particular flower grain that is referred to as Hibba. This Hibba, it grows from when a sail, the flood, moving flood, it carries some sediments, gusa. When it carries it, it drops some of them and takes some of them. So on that, some plants grow there, and they grow very neatly. This is a kind of similitude. So a particular plant that grows, it grows very beautifully on such platforms. So the Prophet likened how they are going to be renewed, as if they were new human beings, not having any traces of having been in Jahannam. And then they will be admitted into Al-Jannah. So this Shafa'ah is the last of what will happen. Or every person will be revealed. Thereafter, there are narrations that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah will bring death in the future of an animal, Kabsh. And He will slaughter it. He will announce to the people of Jahannam, and He will announce to the people of Al-Jannah, from now onwards, no one dies again. Look at death. I slaughter it. So it will be slaughtered. So from then onwards, every person in Jahannam will be in Jahannam forever. May Allah save us from that. And every person in Al-Jannah will be in Al-Jannah forever. May Allah make that easy for us. So inshallah, this is where we'll stop today. But we quickly look at this point in completion, because we had already mentioned about everything in the point. He said, "Well, imanu bi shafa'ati Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." We have to believe in the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We explain the shafa'ah of the Prophet. We explain his shafa'ah that are meant for him alone. There are three of them. Al-shafa'atul uzma, shafa'atuhu li ahli Allah, jannah li dukhuliha, wa shafa'atuhu liman li ammihi. These are three specific shafa'at for him alone. Then the rest for people in Jahannam and their liberation, people whose punishments are to be reduced, people who, and all these are other shafa'ah that we mentioned that the Prophet will partake in, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we believe in this, and we believe in wa biqawmin minan nari. Do we get that point? And we also believe that some people wa biqawmin yukhrajuna minan nar. And we also believe that some people will be liberated from hell. We had mentioned that, ko. Ba'da mahtaraku, after they had burnt, wasaru fahman, and they had become charcoals, they will be removed from Jahannam. Fayu'umaru bihim, they will be commanded, it will be commanded regarding them, ila nahari ala babi Jahannam. They will be told to be taken, to be commanded that they should be taken to a river on the outskirts of Al-Jannah. Kama ja'a fil athar, as it is reported in the hadith. We read the hadith, go. It says, kayfa sha'Allah. All of these will happen the way Allah wants. So no one should wonder, how is it going to happen? It will happen as Allah wants. Wakama sha'a. And in the manner that he wants. The way it wants, the manner he wants, how it wants, he wants everything to be, is how it is going to be. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is regarding point 21. Inshallah, in our next discussions, we'll go on point 22. Wal iman anna al-masih ad-dajjal kharijun maktubun bayn aynayhi kafir. We're going to talk about Masih Dajjal. Because from the signs of the last hour is that Dajjal will not be talked about. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from the signs of the last hour is that people will stop talking about Dajjal. We hardly hear about Dajjal now from the Mimbar or from the Manabir. Inshallah, we'll talk about Masih Dajjal in the next Darus. And some of the fitan that had come to people these days regarding what they refer to as comparative religion, into which they go, get sunk, and then begin to deny the coming of Masih Isa alayhi salam. Some of these issues will be mentioned, inshallah, in the next sitting. We pray Almighty Allah to make us understand better than it has been said. We pray Almighty Allah to make things easy for us, to make us from the adherents of Al-Jannah, and save us from the fire of hell. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we just take two questions, inshallah, and we hope we can answer them. عليكم السلام. كيف ماذا؟ شفاعة القرآن. He's asking about the intercession of the Quran, that the Quran will intercede for its people on the day of Qiyamah. Yes, it is established. هذا ثابت بالنص صحيح لا يجادل إلا من لا يؤمن بالشفاعة مطلقا لكن نحن نؤمن به كما جاء في الأثر. نعم. لكن ما ذكرناها. ما ذكرنا هذه الشفاعة لأننا بنينا على كلام الإمام أحمد هو يذكر شفاعة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فقط فاكتفينا بما ذكره لكن الشفاعة الأخرى يعني جائزة ثابتة كما جاء في الآثار ونكف حيث وقفوا يعني we are going to stop where the Salaf stops regarding all those شفاعات. We will not say that the شفاعة except that it's in evidence from the Quran or the Sunnah that Shafa'ah exists. If the Shafa'ah exists by the text of Quran and Sunnah, then we accept and agree that it exists. There are other things. We said, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ is referring to the Mushrikun. But Abu Talib is a Mushrik. So كيف ينفعه, كيف تنفعه شفاعة الشافِع هنا وهو رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Do we understand? We said that Allah said the intercession of intercessors will not benefit the kuffar. But here, the intercession of the Prophet is benefiting Abu Talib. We say, yes, that is the general rule. The exception here is this case of Abu Talib, because the Prophet said so. And it is to him that فَمَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةُ was revealed. So it meant that yes, لا تنفعهم الشفاعات, لكن هنا ينفعوا تنفع أبي طالب شفاعة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. أبا طالب تنفعه شفاعة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Abu Talib will benefit from the شفاعة of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Do you understand? And these hadiths are authentic. So we take all those matters of shafa'at as they appear in the texts and we believe in them as they come. Alaykum as-salam. نحن
هناك علامة.
علامة. نعم. لماذا؟
التي نعرف بها أسماء الله.
أسماء الله والصفات. لا, هذا معلوم بالتتبع. العلماء تتبعوا أسماء الله في الكتاب والسنة. وكما ذكرت نحن نكف حيث وقفوا. إذا أثبتوا يعني العلماء شيئا أنه من أسماء الله نؤمن به, وإذا نفوا شيئا عن الله ننفى ونكف حيث ما وقفوا أو حيث وقفوا. فهمت؟ He said, how do we know that some things are the names of Allah? So the names of Allah are things we can't know except that there are texts and the verse in the Quran and Hadith that establish them. And the ulama, they are going to tell us, this is from his name. This is from his name. Here in this Hadith that we read, Nabi Adam alayhi salam told us that Allah will be annoyed. So can you call Allah the one who annoyer, the annoyed, Al-Ghadib? La. Even when he will be annoyed. And Sifatul Ghadab Sabitun Lillah. The fact that Allah is one who gets annoyed is established for Allah. لأن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر أنه أن الله يغضب. Because the Prophet mentioned that Allah gets annoyed, and there are verses of the Quran that he said, وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah is annoyed with them. So Allah gets annoyed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is also pleased. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ إِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفُرُ وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. If you are pleased, if you are thankful, grateful to him in obedience, يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. You'll be pleased. So رِضَى, sifa, the attributes of being pleased, pleasure, is established for Allah. The attributes of being displeased and annoyed is also established for Allah. But which of them can you refer to Allah? You can refer to Allah as Al-Ghadib, La. Because he didn't refer to himself as Al-Ghadib, that is his name or from his attributes. So we refer to Allah, we mention the names of Allah as is established in the text. We mention his attributes as they are established. We will not make ta'wil, that is explaining it out. We will not make ta'til, denying it. We will not make tafweed, saying that we don't know how it is. We don't know how it is, only Allah knows. He has hand, that's his problem. To say no. Sifatul yad thabitun lillah. That Allah has hand is established for Allah. What we don't know when we make tafweed, let's not make the mistake, is tafweedul kayfiyah. We don't know how that thing is. But the fact that there is hand, we know, yes, he has hand and it's established. But how the hand is what we don't know. You don't say you don't know whether he has hand or not. Because when you say you don't know whether he has hands or not, and he's saying that he created Adam with his hand, you are saying that he didn't say it rightly. He said, وَسْنَا الْفُلْكَ بِعَيُنِنَا وَوَحْيِنَا. He told Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, make the boat under our eyes. You say you don't know whether he has eyes. No, he has eyes. What we don't know regarding which we make the food is كَيْفِيَّةُ عَيْنِهِ. How is his eyes? We don't know. That's what ulama say. They say, al-istiwa'u ma'lum. Istiwa, that someone is established upon something. Ma'lum, we know that one. Lakin kayfiyya majhul. Wasu'alu anha bid'ah. We don't, how he did it, we don't know. But asking how did he do it itself is an innovation, because the companions did not ask the Prophet that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we say tafweed doesn't mean that we say we don't know whether he has those things. No, we know that he has them and we believe. How those things are is what we don't know. But those people who really make tafweed from the Ash'a'ira, they say they don't know whether he has it or not. But he says he has it, so you are belying Allah the Most High. So the same thing applies to his names. will not say this is his name until it is established. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he has done a very nice work. He has a book, Al-Qawa'id al-Muslah. So the basic rules established regarding the sifat Asma'illah al-Husna. See Asma'illahi al-Husna. Regarding the names of Allah, the beautiful names of Allah. So here he made some, mashallah, very good works, going through the verses of the Quran and Hadith to establish the names of Allah and His attributes based on narrations. Even that, some of the ulama criticized and mentioned one or two things that he brought as not part of it. Allahu alam. So, but I think the book is a very good book from which we can benefit regarding Asma'ullahi wa Sifat. Also, we can benefit from his Sharh of Aqidatul Wasitiyah. Very good book on Aqidah generally. The first volume. He spoke a lot about the attributes of Allah and His names. Inshallah, we'll make benefit from them if we look at them. We say we'll take two questions, so we'll stop here, inshallah. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته